the ketamine thing, it's so hard to explain because you're just like in it. And then I think I've had visions or I've seen myself in the future, like when I'm, you know, in my 70s and I'm like all of a sudden singing at a cabaret and I really see myself. I'm like, oh yeah, that's what I'm going to be doing. So I didn't know one time I was working on my show and I guess I was listening to my playlist just to see if I got any good ideas. And when the nurse came in to pull out the needle, she was kind of smiling. I'm like, was I singing? She was like, show sounds good. I guess I was like literally singing at the top of my lungs the whole show and like kind of, you know, acting it out with one hand.
Welcome to Plantscendence, the podcast where we talk to people about their most significant psychedelic experiences and how those experiences profoundly changed their lives. I'm John Reese. My guest this week is my good friend and favorite house guest, Gina Gershon, who is notably the person who came up with the title of this podcast, Plantscendence. I was super excited when Gina told me about her experience with ketamine and that she was open to sharing this experience with others. Gina Gershon is an actress, author, and singer. Her extensive filmography includes Bound, Showgirls, Face Off, The Insider, The Player, and she is soon to be seen in Borderlands and the re-release of Pray for Rock and Roll. Her many series roles include Curb Your Enthusiasm, Riverdale, and Red Oaks. She has written two books and performed one-woman shows at The Carlisle and The Box, and has also performed with many Grammy Award-winning artists, including Sting, Christian McBride, and Herbie Hancock. So please welcome to the Plantscendence podcast, my good friend and cousin, I guess, by marriage.
Third cousin.
Gina Gershon.
Yes.
Third cousin, who is a fantastic actress.
Thank you.
And author.
Thank you.
And lover of cats.
Yes.
And fabulous musician.
Thank you.
One of your favorite, my favorite films of yours is Pray for Rock and Roll.
Which is hopefully coming out again.
Oh, that's
soon.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Well, maybe this will come out when it comes out.
Yeah.
Around that time.
That would be good. Good title.
Good. And I was going to say, and the inventor of the name of Plantscendence is Gina, who was here one day. And I was asking her, having trouble with the title of the podcast. And
my special superpower coming up with titles.
I know. You're actually pretty amazing. So
thank you.
So thank you for that. And we're basically here to talk about ketamine.
Mm-hmm.
And because that's your kind of most significant psychedelic experience that you want to talk about, or, you know, because you've either had other, you told me you've had other psychedelic experiences, but nothing kind of significant, right?
I mean, all the other psychedelic experiences were more for just fun, you know, and like, oh, this will be a journey. But the ketamine, I've been doing ketamine therapy for like 7 years now.
Oh, wow.
Before it was a groovy thing.
Right.
And I only did it just because I get depression and I can't do antidepressants. I mean, I can do them. They don't work well on me. And they started turning on me and they just made me feel a little bit too crazy. And I tried different kinds. And so a friend of mine told me about Dr. Brooks and ketamine therapy, which I guess he's one of the first guys in New York to open up a clinic. And I thought, why not? And, you know, he first interviewed me to make sure I qualified, because it's not just like, oh, I'm depressed because I don't have, you know, a new car, or my boyfriend broke up with me, whatever. It's very specific. If, you know, he was saying between 2 and 18 when you're developing, and if you have any sort of stress or trauma, whatever it is, your cortisol will come and protect you. But when the cortisol comes, it may impede the dendrites in your brain, which are like your synapses. And if they're not touching, which are kind of your mood stabilizers, that's when you can get, you know, depressed, or a little thing becomes a big thing and you don't have a mood stabilizer.
So just to clarify, when you're between ages of 2 and 18 and you're suffering stress, this is what's happening to you?
Yes.
And
so that's why I have that sort of depression. It's not because like something happened. It's just, it's in my body, because chemically those dendrites, right, the little synapses, which are like the legs of the octopus in the floating around in your brains, if they're not connecting, you're going to have that problem. And so supposedly when you take antidepressants or other forms, you know, hopefully it grows, those synapses connect. And what he was explaining they were doing studies how if this ketamine, once it gets into your system, it will grow those dendrites. And so he said I had to do it like 6 times within a period of 2 weeks just to get it really in my system. And I have to say the first 4 times, you know, I was like, wow, this is incredible as far as a trip goes. But I didn't feel any differently. And I thought, ugh, what am I going to do? Because I was pretty down. And by the 5th time, all of a sudden, I just noticed a big change. Like all of a sudden, the world just kind of went like, oh, okay. Like, you know, this was that. It's hard to explain. It's just like, it just, everything felt like normal again. Hmm. And I didn't have any other side effects.
What was normal if you've been having this, what was just normal when you're not depressed, you mean, in a sense?
Just, like, you know, I think when this sort of depression comes, it's like a negative voice that keeps, almost like an OCD thing, like negative voices, negative thoughts rolling around. Just no joy. You know, you look at something and you don't see the joy in it. And I could just tell I get kind of weird. You know, I don't want to be around people.
Right.
And then all of a sudden I just woke up and it just felt like, oh, what a nice day out. It just felt kind of...
And did it happen after the 5th time?
Yeah, like after the 5th time it happened.
So what was the first experience like? Like the first injection?
It's not an injection.
It's not an injection.
You're on a drip for an hour.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
And there's, you know, some people say they do an injection and that's it. But this is very, this is going into your bloodstream for like an hour straight.
Right.
It was unlike any like high, it wasn't like mushrooms, wasn't like MDMA. It's hard to explain, but it was definitely, you know, ketamine will sometimes, you know, they'll give it to you in the ambulance because it takes you outside of your body. Hmm. So you detach, you get very detached from your body. You also detach from your ego. You're kind of like floating around seeing, you're just not in your body anymore. Hmm. And your eyes are closed. Because I remember opening my eyes and my arm was like stretched across the room. I was like, okay, so you close your eyes again. Kind of like, you know, in ayahuasca, as soon as you open up your eyes, you're not really seeing anything weird.
Right.
So when your eyes closed, it just felt like I was in like an abstract painting and I could hear music. You have to do music. I think music's really important.
Did you do your own playlist or do they do a playlist for you?
No, I do my own playlist.
Right.
And, you know, since then, since I've done it for so many years now, I do very specific playlists. If I'm working on a show, I'll put the music on and I'll like work through stuff. And now I meditate through stuff. But you definitely, when I listen to music, I really understand it. Like everything kind of dimensionalizes. I'm like, you're not like, oh, that's how you play that bass line. You're like, you're inside the bass string. You're like, whoa, I understand this vibration. It's wild. It's really fun. I really love it. And, you know, they're very, I think with ketamine, you can get very nauseous, but they put anti-nausea stuff there. You know, and they keep saying, oh, we'll come in and check, and here's a button, and, you know, we'll leave the door open. And I'm...
So you're in a private room.
You're in a private room. And I'm like, close the door, pull down the windows, no one come in here. Because I kind of want to really get into it.
Right.
You know, and, you know, if I'm feeling weird or something's happening, which I'd never have had that. One time I was crying a lot, but I also was seeing so many different images and he was there like, are you okay? I'm like, no, I'm fine. I'm just thinking about people. It was kind of nice. I liked it. So you feel safe, you know, because you're in a safe environment. Something really happens, you know, I'm in a doctor's office.
Right.
But it's a very solitary thing. It's so different than when people are like, oh, I'm going to go to the club and snort some K. You know, right. It is not that.
Right. Did you hallucinate at all? Did you have visions at all, or?
Oh, you're wildly hallucinating the whole time.
Right.
But it's not like hallucinating like on mushrooms. I remember like I would talk to the rock and it would drip down and make an oil painting and my hearing got really astute. Like I'd hear someone saying, look at that girl down there. And someone was really far away. I shouldn't be able to hear them. And I could hear everything they were saying, right? That changes your senses.
This is on ketamine or on mushrooms?
That was on mushrooms.
Right.
So I'm saying ketamine, it's different. It's not, and it's like on acid, you know, things get brighter and, you know, I always hallucinate. Like I look at things and, you know, if I make my eyes a certain way, things turn into other things. I look at trees or like oil splots, you know, and I'm like, oh, there's a painting in there. You know, I see things within things because I'm looking for that. The ketamine thing, it's so hard to explain because it's just like, you're just like in it. You're not like seeing it. You're a part of it, mm-hmm. you know? Right. And then I think I've had visions or I've seen myself in the future, like when I'm, you know, in my 70s and I'm like all of a sudden singing at a cabaret and I really see myself. I'm like, oh yeah, that's what I'm going to be doing. Like, oh, that's fun. You know, and I've worked out. So I didn't know one time I was working on my when I was doing the Carla and I was working on my show. And I guess I was listening to my playlist just to see if I got any good ideas. And when the nurse came in to pull out, you know, the needle, she was kind of smiling. I'm like, was I singing? She was like, show sounds good. I guess I was like literally singing at the top of my lungs the whole show and like kind of, you know, acting it out with one hand. You know, you're laying down. I mean, you're right. Sitting up or laying down. You can't move.
So does it only last the hour that you're connected or is there a little after?
It depends how fast you want to do it. Like if you want it, you know, if I'm like, oh my God, I have a meeting I have to go to, or if I, you know, I try to go home and just like relax and sleep because right. It's really, once it's to get it in your body. He just wants the medicine in you, but then it's like in the next few hours, it starts to work on you, you know? But you can go back to work. I like to go home and sleep. I like right. to sleep a lot when I do it.
So then when you, each time you do a session, like, is it several treatments? When you said five, like were
no,
there six?
The first initial treatment is, he said, you should do it. You need to do it six times just to really get it into your system. And then I asked him, I said, when will I know when to come back?
And then how often? Like,
and he was like, you'll know. And I said, what does that mean? And I didn't go back for like 5 months. I was like, wow, I feel better. And then all of a sudden the world started to kind of tilt again.
Right.
He's like, wow, you haven't been here in a long time. Some people go once a week. Some people go every 3 weeks. I feel like I tend to go maybe once every 4 months.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, if I go longer, I feel like I waited too long. And then, mm-hmm. you know, because it's like I said, it's not like, oh, something has to happen if it's good or bad. It's just all of a sudden, maybe my dendrites start shrinking again.
Right.
So I really probably should put it on the calendar like once every 4 months I go. But I've, you know.
Now, is this a thing? And when you go every 4 months, you just go for one session?
One session, yeah.
Right.
So and you could go there for an hour or you could say, I want a slower drip. Mm-hmm. And you could take an hour and a half.
Right.
If the faster you do, I like it because I like the feeling of being high. So I like kind of getting into it. But, you know, a lot of people don't. Right. And I know now they're working on trying to do some of the ketamine drip without the, you know, the high part, the hallucination part, because a lot of people do not like to trip.
So who that'll are be those people?
Not my friends. I mean, I don't know. I went to a seminar and people were, I know, working. There's some people working on that. Trying to take out some property. I didn't totally understand. Trying to take out some piece of it that will stop you from hallucinating so much, but it'll just get the medicine in you.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't know how that works.
And is the idea that eventually your dendrites will grow and touch permanently and then you won't need to go back? Or is it at this stage, you know, after you're an adult, you just constantly need it?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, mine have not done it permanently. Like I said, I think, oh, I'm fine. And I forget about it until all of a sudden I'm not fine. And I start noticing I'm like kind of spiraling down. Mm-hmm. And that's usually around the 4 month, 5 month period. I mean, when I've gone through a really hard time, you know, like my mother dying, things like that, I, you know, obviously was really sad and depressed. And I went in to see him. And, you know, he kind of talked to me and I was really in a bad way. And he was like, I think you need to come in and get another session like on Saturday. It was Thursday. I said, really? He said, yeah, it's on me. Like, you need it. I was like, oh my God, am I that bad? I love him. He's like right. my grandpa. I love this guy. So it doesn't feel druggy. I tried to redo the office so it was kind of more groovy. I said, this is terrible lighting. Let's just get lava lamps. Let's make it kind of, you know, pleasant to be in. He doesn't really get it. But another friend of mine just made it.
Get some plants in there?
Get some plants. I just think a comfortable seat and nice lighting is the most important thing.
Right.
Because really your eyes are closed. Music is really important.
Right.
I think if you didn't have anything.
And they have music if you don't have it kind of a thing, obviously. But
I don't know. I mean, I've always brought my own music in. I didn't have headphones once and they had headphones. So they probably
right.
do.
Right.
But I think some people, you know, you don't want to go into the K-hole. And I think that's when you could go and feel like crying and really sad. And my friend said he went there once and when he didn't have music.
Huh.
I think the music is everything.
So what is the K-hole?
Oh, I've never really been in it. Oh, I wasn't it once. I liked it. But I liked it. I like feeling completely disassociated. But one time when I got really sad, is it kind of like
an out-of-body experience, in a sense?
Well, I did ketamine once, and it wasn't in the office, right? And it was very strong. And all of a sudden, like, I was laying on a bed or a slab in the kitchen with a friend of mine, and we were, like, kind of pedaling, and it felt like we were in water, but we were upside down, like we were in a shared K-hole. But, like, your sense of proportion, everything gets kind of distorted. But you really feel like you're kind of floating in space, and that gets very warped. I mean, I can't imagine.
Kind of sounds fun.
I love it. I think it's great. I really like it a lot. I think it's really fun. But it's not like, oh, I'm going to have some profound experience like on an ayahuasca journey or mushrooms. I've never had that aha moment. Mm. I try now to meditate and try to, but it's you can't really hold on. It's so, it's like you're in an oil painting and it's like, whoosh. Right. I always want to paint. I always want to, like, God, if I could only paint what I saw. And the music affects what I'm seeing. And then I just want to put that down. I'm like, and I think it actually pushed me into painting. That's because during that time, that's when I started painting.
Are you still painting?
I'm going to get back to it. As soon as I get back to New York, I'm trying to find a studio. But I haven't been able to. Right. You know, I haven't had time. But I see it. When I see paintings more than anything when I'm in that state. And the colors, for some reason, they're all, for me in that, it's all purples and golds and black. And I've asked him, I said, why am I seeing those colors? And he's like, I don't know. I mean, he just doesn't know. So it's, maybe they're in my own little vision.
Maybe there's another kind of person you should be asking about the colors.
An ophthalmologist or a brain person, you know, because maybe it's something, if you release something, certain colors come through. I mean, maybe there's a logical answer or a scientific answer for,
right.
You know, they say, oh, you see the light when you feel like you're dying, you know, certain things are sparking off in your brain. So it could be letting in that. I don't know. Yeah. But I should ask someone. He didn't know. He's like, I'm just trying to get this in you the easiest way possible.
Is this all he does? Is this his main practice?
Yeah, now it is. He runs a couple of them. I mean, he's an anesthesiologist, so he knows how to use it. When I asked him about microdosing, I said, what's the difference between this? Like, people are talking about microdosing acid and microdosing mushrooms. He said, the thing that I know is this is pure. I know where I'm getting it from. It's from the hospital. It's hospital grade. He goes, the thing that makes me concerned with, like, the acid and the mushrooms, like, you don't know what's in it.
Right.
Which is fair.
Fair, but I mean, for me, because I microdose mushrooms, I've had two sources and I have a third if I need to. And you just talk to them and you just, you know, if they have enough care and practice and you feel like they know what they're doing. And with mushrooms, it's like, it's not that complicated. Acid, you'd have to make sure that their chemistry is correct. Like, they're really good chemists.
Unless you're a chemist. But what do the mushrooms do? How does that help your depression?
I was just going to say that it's actually... You know, for me, it just really alleviates. It just kind of like, when you were talking about how ketamine affected you and like how you, you know, before that you kind of like fall into these repetitive patterns and, you know, kind of negative thinking. I have that exactly. And that's what the microdosing mushrooms takes away from me.
Amazing.
You know, and and then when I do larger journeys, you can feel an even deeper effect.
And then it lasts and you don't have to do it, or you're microdosing every day?
No, I microdose every other day. And then I take, now I do every other day, but take 2 days off. So, and then I try to take bigger periods off. Like, I just had COVID.
Right.
So I was off mushrooms. And so that was a nice break. And tonight, Thanksgiving, I'm probably going to go on mushrooms, but I could even extend my break a little longer.
Right.
You know, because it's like...
I mean, I think the truth is, you know, everyone is different. Their chemistry is different. And I think within your own body, your own chemistry changes over time. So I think it's just important to start watching that.
You know?
Like, I know if I drink a lot of coffee, I have a tendency to get depressed after a while. So I'm like, okay, I better watch that.
Right.
And drinking now, I really get depressed the next few days. Mm. It really affects me. So I'm trying not to drink so much.
It's so funny. Since I started doing psychedelics, I have much lower taste for alcohol.
Yeah.
You know, I still occasionally do it, but it's not like, oh, I really want to have a drink with dinner.
Yeah. I mean, I now do a ketamine spray too, just if I'm going out to play and I don't want to drink. And if I have a little social anxiety or something, I think the drinking, and maybe it's as you're getting older, it just feels really toxic to me.
Hmm.
And I get
so what's your ketamine spray?
Well, that's from a different doctor. I haven't really told the other doctor about that. That's more, it's mixed with oxytocin.
Oh.
And it's really more of an anti-anxiety. It, to me, it is nothing like my ketamine trips, you know, but it feels, I like it just because I don't drink then. And it kind of.
Do you spray it in your nose or your mouth?
I spray it in my nose. It's pretty compounded. I also, my doctor during COVID, because I couldn't get back to New York and I didn't want to go to a ketamine place here. So he made a compound of lozenges for me.
Oh, right.
But they taste so gross. And the spray, he always says, listen, the spray's never going to work as much because it doesn't really get in your system. But in the moment,
right. It
takes the edge off. And then I'm like, okay, maybe I'm not going to drink.
I never imagined you having social anxiety, Gina.
I've had, in the last 3 years, I've really gotten it. I've always had a little bit of it. I just mask it.
Yeah.
But I've also become such, you know, a loner in the last few years. Like, I'm on my own a lot.
Right.
And I don't know. Maybe it was after between COVID and my mom and this. Like, when I go out, I covered up, but I don't like it. So I go out. So when I do it, I'll do the little ketamine sprays because I don't want to drink so much because then I get depressed.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And actually the drinking, it just makes me, and the next day I lose half the day.
Right.
I just feel groggy and I just feel I don't like the way it makes me feel. And to me with the ketamine spray, a part of me is like, oh, the oxytocin is like this, you know, bonding sort of chemical. And the ketamine, I just feel like I go to sleep later and I feel calm. I like it.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know. I really believe, I've been a big believer in ketamine from the very beginning when everyone's like, what? And I really wanted to get in on it.
Right.
And now it seems, at least now you can get insurance. You know, it's certain people are, because it's expensive. Yeah. But I kept thinking, wow, this is a great high, but this is way too much money. I don't want to.
Like how much a session is it?
Like 500, 550. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, that is expensive.
Yeah. It's even more expensive in LA. I refuse to do it out here.
Really?
Yeah. Because also they wanted to put a video camera on, like, well, we have to be able to watch you. I'm like, I'm not going to be tripping my brains out knowing someone's staring at me. Like,
right.
I didn't want that. So I never did it out here.
Interesting. I think as it becomes more common, though, hopefully, you know, supply and demand, the costs will come down.
Well, but it should, you know, if you get antidepressants, it's a real antidepressant. It's proving to work. You should have it on your insurance. You should be able to go through insurance. So now certain places are taking it.
Right. And then the insurance companies will make the prices go down.
I hope so. Because I think it's a good tool. A lot of people who can't do antidepressants and then they go ahead and do them. I mean, I know for me, I did it once and I thought I was going to like jump off a boat. I think a lot of these people who end up killing themselves, they've had a similar experience.
Right. On antidepressants.
On antidepressants that no longer work. It's like an antidepressant, and they're working on this. I've talked to these guys who work at the Brain Institute who were specifically working on this. You know, it's like if your mind is like an engine. The antidepressants, it's like you're trying to fill it with gas, but you're like spraying it all over the place. So just a little bit's getting into the tank, but what's it? It's also getting all over the place. And so it's having other effects.
Right.
Like I know my side effects when I was doing antidepressants were really apparent.
Huh.
You know, I got very jittery and shaky and I just felt crazy on them.
Right, right.
And I kept, you know, you could try different ones. And a lot of times people are not, you know, if you're a dopamine person or a serotonin person.
Right.
I was a dopamine person, but they were giving me serotonin and it really had a bad effect.
Right.
And then I was self, you know, medicating with dopamine and I didn't even realize it was dopamine. You know, it was these shots that I was giving myself when I was performing. It was C and, you know, vitamin C and vitamin B because I didn't want to get sick. But it had this stuff called what was it called, Procaine in it. But I found out later some of my friends were doing it for depression because it had dopamine in it. But it really made me feel much better. I wasn't doing it for that, but then I was a dopamine person. And I think they don't test you enough to see what kind of medication you should be doing. So that's, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm not a big, for me, the antidepressants never really worked.
Yeah.
You know.
Right. Or now when they're with kids, like they say, okay, well, you have a little bit of this and a little bit of, they're giving them so many different combinations of pills. That's scary to me.
That's messed up.
Like, I want to know exactly what chemicals I'm putting in my body. And, you know, to me, if they're plant-based and if they're natural, you know, I don't know. It just seems better.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I'm so happy we had time to do this.
Plantsendence is a production of 8 Above, created by me, John Reese. Edited by Julia Sharp Levine, with support by Lisa DeLuke. Our theme music is All the Things by Ani Matavos and Lotus Dance by Lucas Draws, both tracks courtesy of Reverse Play. There's more information about our guests in the episode notes, as well as a transcript of this episode on our website, plantsendence.com, and our socials, Plantsendence Pod. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a rating or review. And most importantly, in the words of the wonderful podcaster, Andrew Hickey, tell one person. Word of mouth is the most important way for creative works to be recognized. Thank you for listening.